This episode of China Money Podcast is sponsored by Lehman Brown, a China accounting, audit, and advisory firm. Golden Gate, a law firm providing a full range of legal services in China. Covert Limited, a leading internet privacy tool. And 51mice.com, a comprehensive online platform for meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions in China. Please go to our website, chinamoneynetwork.com, and click on our sponsors' links. Thank you so much, everyone, for your support. Hi, everyone. Welcome to China Money Podcast. I'm your host, Nina Xiang. Our guest today is Mr. Xia Mingcheng, a principal at global alternative investment advisory firm Hamilton Lane's fund investment team. Before joining Hamilton Lane in 2014, Mr. Xia was a senior fund manager at Tokyo Marine Asset Management in Japan, where he was responsible for private equity fund investments globally. He talked with me earlier this week in Hong Kong. Here is our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, and before we do that, just a quick reminder that if you could go to the iTunes store, give us a rating, a thumb up, or write a comment, a review, that would be really helpful. And also remember to check out the China History Podcast, which is always the number one rated podcast under the China category. Great podcast, great research. I'm sure you will enjoy it. As fellow podcasters, we support and cheer for each other. So do make sure you go check out China History Podcast. Thank you. Hi, Mingcheng. Welcome.
Hi. Good to see you.
So first, tell us a little bit about Hamilton Lane's Chinese investment activities.
Yes. Well, we started our Hong Kong office in 2010 and we have been very active in the past few years. We typically, so my team, I'm responsible for the fund investment team, so my work is to pick the good fund managers and group funds in this market. So we have been doing a lot of different type of funds in China, including the buyout funds, growth equity funds, and venture capital funds. We generally like this market. We think this market can provide a lot of investment opportunities for us. So we will keep looking at this market and keep investing in this market going forward.
So mostly in China, you do like fund-to-fund investments, yeah?
I would say fund investment. We invest in funds,
right.
So we're selecting funds.
Right. So you're backing other funds. So. We could call that fund of funds, or
yes.
There's a different name.
So the model, we can call this model as fund of funds. Mm-hmm. But our business is primarily a separate account investment.
Okay.
We can call this as the fund of funds for one LP.
Okay.
Right? We help LP to construct their own portfolio, customized portfolio. So it is a kind of fund of funds model.
So basically separate accounts,
yeah,
right? So,
right?
So most of your China investments are separate accounts. For example, if you manage the exposure, the China exposure for an institutional investor or a pension
right.
fund in the US.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you don't do any direct investment in China and you don't do co-investment deals. So mostly separate accounts. Backing private equity venture funds, like you just said.
Yeah, I would say primarily the fund investment is the biggest part of our business, but we do do the co-investment and the secondary investment.
Okay.
So, but that is not a big part of our business. We have a dedicated secondary fund and a co-investment team.
But that's global.
Yeah, that's global. Global
okay.
mandate. But we do have some exposure through our co-investment fund and the secondary fund as well. But
so
that
you're basically
is
looking also in China opportunities in co-investments as well as secondary deals.
Yes, we do. But personally, I'm sitting in the fund investment team. So most of my time is spent on the fund investment. But I do help some other teams to do the secondary and co-investment.
Okay? Right,
but it's
right.
a different team and
right.
separate team.
So you're basically not talking about everything that Hamilton Lane does in China, but rather because you're in the team of fund investment, so this is where your focus is.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. So if you're backing funds in China, then share us a little bit of your view on
where do you think, what type of strategy, what type of fund structure, whether it's country-specific or pan-Asia, mm-hmm. that you prefer or you like?
In China, we kind of prefer more on the country-focused fund.
So like China-specific
fund? China-specific focused fund. In other areas, we also do that. So
Why is that? Why do you like China like focused fund better than the Pan-Asia fund?
That just because we want to back the best team and best GP in each market. So if we look at some Pan-Asia funds, they may do well in some specific market, but may not do that well in other market. So it's very hard to find some manager are doing well in each market.
So
we would like to construct our portfolio and all our exposure in Asia by picking the best manager in each country.
So basically you emphasize local expertise.
Right,
and you think that's more important.
Right.
Than
so local team, local network, local experience. So that do matter to the returns.
Can you disclose like what kind of funds you have backed in China?
We typically do not disclose a specific name, but we have invested in many top tier funds in China.
Yeah. Top tier funds.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a dozen funds you have backed, or like more in number?
We don't disclose the number as well, but I would say quite a few GPs we're backing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a small number. Yeah.
So you just said you like local teams. So I would imagine the majority of them possibly being local Chinese teams and local Chinese funds, yeah?
Yes, they're a local team, but as you know, many Chinese managers, their team can be quite complementary in terms of their background. Many of the managers, actually, they're returnees from the from outside China. They have a very good experience and a very good education background in the U.S. or Europe in the developed markets, and they have long experience working there, and they came back to China, set up their own PE funds, and so they are local Chinese. They are local Chinese, but they are also very international.
Right.
So, and for many managers, they have also recruited a lot of real local people without a lot of international experience, but they have a very deep local knowledge and local network, which is very helpful sometimes.
Well, so, for the funds that you have backed in China so far, how do you evaluate them, and how do you choose the funds that you finally back?
Yeah, so in terms of strategy, we are quite diversified. We invest in different type of managers, like growth equity, buyout, venture capitals. So in terms of the selection process or selection criteria, we look at the manager quite comprehensively. We look at the team experience, team stability, and the track record of the prior funds. We look at the strategy, if the strategy makes sense to this market, to this environment. We look at the competitive advantage compared to their peers, deal sourcing capability, post-investment, the value-added capability, right?
Well, most of the Chinese private equity funds are growth capital, so yeah. I doubt you could be very diversified while you're back in Chinese funds.
We are quite selective. Yeah, we're quite selective. 90% still the growth equity and the venture capitals. Maybe a little bit more buyout. Right now, we're seeing more managers trying to do more they control transactions. So it's very hard to find some managers who is purely focused on the control buyout, because it's very hard to do in China right now. But we do see more and more deal flows of a buyout.
What about full venture? It's kind of crazy right now in China. So, how do you choose venture funds to back?
Same criteria. We don't have any special terms for VC. I think, yeah, you're right. In the last 2 or 3 years, venture capital market in China has been very hot, very dynamic. A lot of capital flew into this market. Even a different type of, not the traditional type of capital like hedge funds, like even mutual funds or some high net worth individual investors. They're getting into this market because the investment opportunities are plenty, a lot of interesting investments. So, but the public market has corrected a little bit after the summer this year. So we do see a little bit slowing down right now. People, the portfolio, the startups may not raise the next round as easy as before. But we see this is a positive correction because a lot of startup, I would say the lower quality startups or low quality VC, maybe will be shaked out or will be it's a challenging for them. But after this correction, we can be more clear which manager is doing better, which company is doing better. So that can be a very good opportunity for us to do the fund selection.
So your job is to talk to Chinese fund managers and decide which one to back. And
yes.
Have your thinking changed in terms of which type of fund you like to back compared to the past?
Yes, I think...
As you know, the economy is slowing down, it's rebalancing, and you know we're going into a different type of growth in China.
So. Yes, I think you're right. The market has been involved because the environment is changing. The general partners need to adapt themselves to the environment. I think going forward, compared to the last 10 years, we will be very emphasized in two capabilities of the managers. One is their sector focus, the sector expertise. I think 10 years ago, every manager, every fund are generalist. They do every sectors to every type of industries. But right now, after the 10 years after the development, we see more and more sector-focused team and sector-focused fund. And I think that the domain knowledge or domain expertise is very important for a manager to, no matter for the deal sourcing or for the execution or for the in terms of the competitive from the competitive the standpoint. So. This is one thing we would like to spend more time. And another thing is the post investment management capability, i.e. the capability to add value to your portfolio. You will bring not just the capital to this company, you will bring a lot of different value, the resources, the operational expertise, bring the key person of the management team. So a lot of things the GP can do for the portfolio companies, particularly in a slowing down growth environment right now. So I think there are a lot of money in this market, but if you can provide a different value, you will be very competitive.
So for the Chinese, for example, the private equity fund, trying to help company run their business better,
mm-hmm.
Which model you think would work better in China, whether it's you know internal talent, operational talent, trying to help the portfolio companies, or more like KKR type of model where they have like a large network of
yeah.
corporate executives that they could
right.
have partnership with and go into the company and to help them?
I think different GP can take different approach. For the managers who has a very strong operational team or operational talents, they can be really hands-on on the daily management of the company. They can even send some senior guys to the company and work with the existing management team.
So this will be pretty large funds.
Yeah, we see some manager have this capability. Yeah, mostly the global players like KKR, TPG, they have the very established model and approach on that. But on the other hand, we also see some ad hoc approach, which means you don't need to keep a very large operating team, but if the company or the portfolio need your help, you can help them to like recreate a very key person of the management, or you can help them to improve their operational efficiency. That can be a project base, right? You don't need to keep a permanent team there.
What about in terms of sectors? You any preference or you're agnostic?
Yeah, I think in general, the PE funds in China basically focus on the growing sectors, right?
Consumer healthcare.
Consumer healthcare, yeah, you're familiar with that. So it's not news. So if you look at the macroeconomy of China, it's definitely you can see two different parts, right? One is old part, one is new part. I think many GPs are very focused on the new part, new economy part, TMT, healthcare, consumer, clean tech. On the other hand, even in the old economy, we do see some value investment opportunity like debt, distressed debt, or even some buyout opportunity. You can help some company which is not growing very fast, but they're facing some structural challenges. If you can take a control of the company and help them to change, help them to restructure their business, that can release a lot of new value.
So distressed debt, special situations that you think going forward?
Yeah, it is also a interesting part in the future. Right now it is still very small.
Because right, not a lot of funds are focused on that. I think it's rather a niche, sort of non-mainstream strategy for Chinese
Yeah,
funds.
Right now it's still early stage.
We don't see
a lot of newcomers. We don't see many experienced managers in this space because in general, in the last 10, 20 years, the growth equity was still the mainstream. But right now, we see more and more managers, they are trying to do this kind of investment.
So you see like new funds, actually new teams being formed to focus on
special situations. Special situation, distressed debt, mezzanine.
Can you mention names?
I can mention some names just for market intel, but it doesn't mean we are investing them or not,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Like if you look at some Pan-Asia players in here, like ICG is a mezzanine fund, right? The regional fund. Clearwater is a distressed fund, a Pan-Asia distressed fund.
They have been around for a long
time.
Yeah,
it's a old manager, and ADV is a
ADV.
ADV. Uh-huh. They are a structured equity investor or with some debt element. So it's kind of special situation managers. So Shoreline in China, they're very focused on the NPL or the special seats. So a handful of managers. I think it is an interesting space to look at right now, but we're not sure. So it's still early. We're not sure which manager will do better than others. So we're still tracking or testing these guys. So we don't need to rush to some new idea or new concept in this investment. But so we keep tracking them, keep dialogues with these debt related managers. So hopefully we can figure out some better managers in the near future.
So in terms of returns, when you select funds, is there any particular requirements?
No special requirements. I think as a market, PE, you should be delivering like a gross IRR 20%. That is still a broad target for us on this asset class. It's not special. 20% gross IRR, 2.5 time multiple, or sometimes 25 gross IRR. So in terms of debt, it will be lower than PE, 15% or even 10% high teens. So whatever.
Yeah. Well, when you say debt, you mean debt-focused funds.
Yeah.
So it could be like mezzanine.
Distressed debt. Okay. Mezzanine or senior lending fund even. Senior lending is more maybe around 10%. So when you talk about debt investment, it's a lot of different sub-strategies. So different risk and the return profile. So
right,
that can be very broad, ranging from high single digit from high teens.
I would imagine this part is very small in your total investments.
Yeah, still very small.
Most would be private equity.
Private equity, gross equity, venture.
Okay. For some limited partners, mm-hmm. Sometimes they find themselves wanting to invest in the fund. Maybe the fund has already too much money being offered to them, and you know, there's situations when actually LPs could be said no to. I wonder what is the situation for Hamilton Wayne, or whether you know you have never found yourself in that situation.
Oversubscription,
right.
Situation. Sometimes we have that situation with some very good managers. But historically, our cutback ratio, which means our cutback ratio was like 1.5 something. That means we asked for 100 investment, but they gave us 98.5% of our full allocation. So it's a very small portion of the cutback. At most case, we can get the full allocation because GPs like to work with Hamilton with Hamilton Lane because we have a very very good client base, we're very experienced, and we have a large institutionalized platform. So very efficient, we're professional. So they know us. They know our reputation in this market. So they tend to be like to work with us.
Let's look at the Chinese macro transition and how that's impacting funds portfolio companies. Since you work with a lot of funds, what have they seen in terms of their portfolio companies, top line, bottom line, being impacted by this slowdown in growth rate?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We see a different impact on the different sectors. So particularly, I think in the last 2-3 years, we have seen some slowing down on the consumer sectors, apparel, food, restaurant. The growth rate for these sectors has been slowing down, and we see the slow growth on the top line and even on bottom line.
How much is the decline roughly, the range?
We mostly see the slowing down of the growth, still less a decline in terms of growth. Still very negative growth is still very rare, I think.
So the growth rate could potentially be in the 20s in the past. So
right, now, now so the now consumer, maybe a single digit,
right?
Yeah, top line growth. But you can do better on the operational side, you can cut the cost. You can make the job efficiently. Maybe your bottom line growth can still be double digit. It's very much based on the how do you run your business. And construction, manufacturing, those sectors are quite challenging. Even some service providers to these kind of the heavy industries can be challenging because you will see your contract from these big manufacturers will be declined. But I think in general, overall, the portfolio of Chinese PE is still at a very healthy shape because most of their exposure are still in the growing part of China's growing part of the economy.
Right, but that's for sure going to impact the expected returns.
Yes.
How do you think that impact will be? Like, how much will that negatively, you know, drag down the return numbers?
I think it's very hard to quantify this impact. You can see the returns of the funds by vintages, right? I would say 2007 or 2008 vintage. The performance for that two vintages is relatively lower than the prior vintages and is relatively underperforming because they have some exposure. They still have some exposure in traditional sectors, manufacturing or consumer. But even in a consumer, it's a different subsector. So if you're looking at some TMT, right, O2O, that can be a very fast growth.
Which vintage years do you like, do you think will perform the best?
I think 07, 08 is a relatively bad vintage. After that, 2010, 11, 12, not bad. Because
what about for funds that's investing around you know, this couple of years, 2014, 2015?
I think the recent vintages are getting better because the exit market is getting better. IPO market reopened. And actually, in the last 2 years, in 2014 and 2015, we have seen the strongest realization activity in Asia and in China as well.
Last year, Hamilton Lane was among 25 investors to buy 30% of Sinopec's retail business.
Yeah.
What kind of communication investors have been having after the investment with Sinopec? How are you trying to help them? And because 25 investors is a lot.
I would say this investment is still a quite passive investment for the external investors, because it is a 30% minority investment with a very strong flagship SOE assets. So I think the government and the central government and the SASAC, which is the regulator of the SOEs, are still very controlled in the situation. I think the influence of external investors will be limited. But I think the external investors are trying to make more positive influence on their corporate governance, on their the operational strategy, because some of the investors are sitting on the board. So I think that is also one of the goals the government have had for these transactions. They want to have some outside experience and outside influence.
You said you have regular communication with Sinopec?
Yeah, they have the board meetings. Yeah, but I'm personally not involved in these deals. But I heard that they have the board meetings, and they should have regular communications.
Well, there has been a lot of questions regarding this deal, as the purpose of the sell of the stake to foreign investors is to help the company do operational improvements. But among the 25 investors, there's none with retail experience. So that's why there has been a lot of question about why the deal is struck like that. So how did Hamilton Lane became involved in the deal?
Maybe I cannot disclose a lot of details about the transactions. I think because I'm not the co-investment deal team, and I don't know so much details. Yeah, but in general, I think the government they want to have some help from outside.
Right. So anyway, for Hamilton, it's a very passive investment, which means you're not doing anything operational wise, trying to help the company. It's purely a financial investment.
Yeah, we are participating in some consortium of the investors. We have our opinion, we have the advice, but we should play that through the consortium. I think that's the framework. Yeah.
So, I mean, SOE reform, obviously a very heavy focus for the government going forward. You know, aside from this deal, do you think how can Chinese private equity firms try to participate in this reform process and try to profit from it?
Well, I think it's there's no special ways to do. We just because if there's SOE transactions, if it is open process, auction process, the PE just participate that round and make bid and just join the process. I think there's no shortcut to that. But I do think that there will be a lot of opportunities around SOE reform. That can be a minority strategic investment, or that can also be a restructuring of some struggling SOE assets.
Lastly, for a lot of global funds, China is increasingly becoming a destination for them to raise funds from, you know, through the RQFLP. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Qualified Foreign, QFLP.
QFLP, oh, okay.
RQFLP. Do Hamilton Lane consider potentially you know, raising the funds through the QFLP program?
I think as a future option, we would consider that, because we would like to tap the domestic RMB market. If we can raise some capital from domestic investors in China, that will be helpful to our business, right? So no matter we use this capital to invest in China or bring them out of China, I think that is a very good business opportunity. We would like to develop that.
So you don't have a license, right? You don't have a license?
No, we don't have.
You don't plan to perhaps in the future?
I don't think we have the plan right now.
Okay, great, Minchen. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.